Today we're going to talk about Bereishis, Noach, and Parshas Lech Lecha, because we didn't do Bereishis. So it's going to be Bekitzah. I'm going to just start, I'm not going to go to a whole explanation, but basically it's as follows. The main theme in Bereishis obviously is the creation of man, and the creation of his wife Chava, and then the pitui of the Nachash, and the eating of the Eitz Hadas, which was the Chet of Adam HaRishon, which in and of itself needs probably a few shurim to fully understand it. But so I'm not going to go into it, but we do understand that from that, the world went to a different form. The Ra, which is the representation of the Nachash, instead of being something which was outside man, and man seeing evil as something cognitive, it became a desire within man. Okay, then we see there's two children. Machlokas, it was before the Chet, after the Chet, Pashtus. It was after the Chet, Pashtus. But it's Machlokas. And there was Cain and Hevel. Cain killed his brother Hevel because of his jealousy that Hevel brought Mibchorot Son'o from the best of his flock. And Cain bought Pishtan, Mashaba, Biado, whatever came into his hand, he didn't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the offering of Hevel, and even though Cain was the one who started it off, Gam Hu Hevi, Hevel was just brought what Cain, but he did it better. And Cain killed his brother, and then he was sent into Golas, and Chumash goes into the seven generations of Cain, till Lemech, the Tuvel Cain, and then the story that Tuvel Cain saw his brother, saw his great-great-grandfather, which was seven generations later, and he nidma lo kebehema, he thought he was an animal and killed him, and his father, with the tsar that he had, that's what Rashi brings, clapped his hands and killed his son, and that was the end of those generations of Cain. That's the end of Chumash there. Basically, the Midrash says that Cain, all the Ra in the world, comes from Cain. So it was a creation after Adam. We then had that Ra was intrinsic in the world. The world went to a new stage, and you became much, much more physical. There was death. Man wasn't supposed to die. Man was supposed to be in Gan Eden, right? To understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be close to him. And, you know, had he done what he had done and ate from the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos and not before Shabbos, right? Then the world would come litikuno to its fixed place and none of us would be here, right? The very fact that we are here is because Adam HaRishon was chote. Okay, clear guys? Now, so this is what's called a biru. Now the world came to a very, very low physical place. And the world we see, there's the creation of the Ra and the seven levels of Ra with the seven generations of Cain. And that's it. Then after that, Adam HaRishon, we hear, has another child, Sheit. It's brought in Svarim that for 130 years he was Besak, he was doing tshuva, and after the 130 years, he got a certain level of removal of somewhat the Ra from him, and the child that he had, Sheit, was now the beginning of the creation of the Tzad HaTov, the good side in the world. And then we have 10 generations till Noach, right? The world still being very, very physical, right? V'noach matza chen b'nei Hashem. And Noach found chen, grace, in the eyes of God. And like Chumash says, as yinachameinu, then it's yinachameinu me'otzveinu, I think that's the Russian, then you will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to some sort of level of nichum, how do you say nichum?
Rest?
Could be rest. Like Menachem Avil, some sort of level of comfort from the Ra that was in the world. And then And then what's it called? Let's read the end of Parshas Bereishis. So it says, "V'hi ki hechel ha'adam la'rov al pnei adama u'bnot yildu lahem." So there was many people and they had children. "V'yiru bnei elokim et bnot ha'adam ki tovat hena." So these are the Nephilim that came. Rashi says came from Shemayim, whatever that means. But they were more spiritual and they fell. They fell and they married bnot adam. Nashim, they took nashim mikol asher bacharu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he sees the ra of man and he's not low. So God says, Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam la'olam, b'shegam hu basa, because he's flesh. My soul won't remain in man forever. Now man's life became shorter because the ra in the world was much, much bigger. And we see from Chazal that, and from Parshas Noach, right, that the animals were connecting with different animals and man was connecting with the animals as well. And basically the level of man and the animals became somewhat equal. Man became physical, much more physical like the animals. So even though the world, right, with the Ra of Cain, right, was separate from the world, there was that Mivne, the building of Cain, and then there was now Noach, and finally we get Noach, but the world, and what does it say Noach did? Noach was the first, like, sort of farmer. He developed the first sort of plowing instruments. What does that mean? Plowing is when you remove all the bad stuff from the land that you can produce the good produce without the kots v'darda tatzmiach lach, without the weeds which are going to come out from the land, without the thorns which are going to come from the land. Now all of this is also correct physically, but it's also allegorical. It means since after the chet, man was no longer plucking wheat from the tree, not wheat, or gluskaot, bread from the trees. He now had to toil the land to bring bread into the world. Noach, right, brought in these tools in which they would be able to produce properly this produce and separate the bad stuff from the produce, because now the produce has bad stuff because it's mu'rav tovara. So now Noach had the koach to separate, so to speak, from the ra. And that's why Noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. He could separate from the ra in the world. Then he was given the commandment to build a teva, which took 120 years, right? And the reason is, Chazal says, so that they would see him building it and they would realize that something was happening. And they brought a mabul to the world. And the mabul to the world, right, only those animals which were faithful to the same min would enter the Tevat Noach. Now, obviously, it was a big Neser Tevat Noach. Not all the animals could enter. And the Teva was a triangular shape, right? On the top, man, then the animals, and then the lower section, which was all the refuge or the Shrotim, whatever you want to say. But now, the Teva itself showed a hierarchy of man on the top, animals below. So the Teva itself was a hierarchy of man being separate from the animals. The Mabul came, right, and destroyed Kol HaYikum, says Chazal. All the Yikum is the land. Yikum says, Chazal, the Gematria Kain. Imakolo, it's one less. Imakolo, it means it's the same numerical value. Because the Ra of Kain was now put, so to speak, underground, was separate from man. Ra was something which was lower than man. Men now, after the Mabul, became on a higher level. You with me?
After the Mabul, Ra became
lower down, and man now became separate from the animals. Man became like the triangle of the Teva. Man became on the top, then the animals. Either there was a separation from man from the animals.
What was the lowest level? What was the third level?
It was the refuge. The refuge, always refuge represents something bad. Right? It's something with the psolet of Adam, the bad of a person. It's always associated with refuge. Is always, whenever you have something which can have kedusha and which is pushed away from kedusha, will always be tumah. Something which doesn't have any kedusha, it's just itself rubbish. It won't have tumah. It'll be something you don't connect to. But it could also be tameh. But if it has any form, life form or anything like that, but
it's just like food, right? If you have like a holy apple or something, you eat the apple, you only take the goodness of it, and then you excrete.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah, but anything like, that's what happens. Anything that we associate, like, you know, any form of things which are psolet of man, like his fingernails or other things that man might do, right, to remove from himself, all those things are associated with tumah. Because they're things which are disconnected from man's kedusha, right? They're refuge of man. Refuge is always associated, which that is not associated with the higher level, right? So man, now that you have, in the time of Noah, now we have this hierarchy of man. Yeah? Clear? I'm not going through psukim because I want to introduce Avram, because the same thing is happening now. We're going to see in detail in Avram, because in the beginning of the Jewish people. Now,
I have one question.
Yeah.
Now,
when Noah comes out of the Teva, right? He then sacrifices an animal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kosher animals, right? Showing that first of all, the distinction between man and the animals, also, he now has a heter to eat the animals, i.e. the animals became something that man consumes, not man connects to, i.e. there's a differentiation between man and the animals, right? And now man's avoda with the animals is not to connect to them, become physical. Man's avoda with the animals is to bring them up as a korban l'Hashem, and that's also his avoda in his animalistic self, to be mikdash, like we hear here all the time, mikdash the physical world, bring the physical world and elevate it to the spiritual, or maybe better to bring the spiritual world into the physical, to connect the spiritual world to the physical. That was the purpose of Noach, right? And that's what he did. Now, Noach is very, very, very interesting chazal. That Noach, we see that Noach, Rashi says, Noach brought with him in the teva, vine. And chazal say that vine came from the vine of Gan Eden. Noach was trying now to fix, in a certain sense, part of the chet of Adam HaRishon. Because Noach had, we see that it's often that it says that Noach has three kids. He has three children. Yeah? He has Shem, Vacham, Vyafet. Vacham hu avi HaKnaan. Cham represents still the Ra in the world. Yeah? He tried fixing the Ra in the world. The way he was going to do that, he was going to go down to the Ra and fix it at the place of the Ra itself. In order to do that, you have to be bli das. You have to be without das. Right? So that's why he drank from the wine. But he didn't fix it. Instead, what happened? Knan, right, or Cham, so Chazal say, was misaris him or had relations with him. In other words, the Ra, there was no fixing of the Ra, Adarabba. The Ra was mashpia on Noach. Prevented him from being proactive, productive, right? Or was mechaber to him, connected to him, because Cham represents the Ra. So Noach was mekalel the Ra. He was mekalel Cham. And Cham was Eved Avadim, right? And therefore his son Canaan also. And if you notice, Mitzrayim, right, comes from Cham. Canaan from Cham, right? So we're going to see that the later on fixing is going to be done through Avram in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and Eretz Canaan, right? And all the seven nations came from what's it called, from Cham. All those seven nations, which represent the antithesis of Ra in the world, is the purpose of the Jewish people, to destroy them when we come into Eretz Israel. So this is just a process of removing the Ra from the world and b'mevarer, the Kedusha, being clarifying the Kedusha in the world. And this is what's going to happen throughout Chumash. We're going to see this soon, B'zal Hashem. Ra exists in the world only in as much as it's connected to Kedusha. As Chiyus, he has life from Kedusha. If you can go down to the Ra and you can remove from it any Kedusha that it has, any sparks of Kedusha that it has, so you fix the Ra, because now the Ra has no Chiyus. So that was Noach tried to do. Instead, what happened was the Ra connected to Noach, which is a representation of Cham, right? And it had chiyus. Noach gave it, in a certain sense, he didn't fix it. It was a kilkul rather than a fixing. And it's brought down in the Zohar that Nadav Avihu, when they drank the wine, the shtu yain, you heard of the story of Nadav Avihu? That they went in the time of the building of the Beis Mishkan, right? Which is a very, very special time for Klal Yisrael, right? Our sins were forgiven. They went and they tried to fix, even then, the same concept as what Noach tried to do. Right? These were not simple things. And Derech Agav, the same drinking of wine that we do on Purim, is a similar inyan. That's what they're called Mechias Amalek. When we do Mechias Amalek, we'll speak more about this in Purim. When we do Mechias Amalek on Purim, removing Amalek from the world, from within ourselves, the Yetzirah, right? Amalek is the head, so to speak, the top, the keter, the crown of the Yetzirah. It represents the antithesis of the Yetzirah. We don't normally fight the Yetzirah on that level. On Purim, we, without das, and it has to be without das, we go down and we mevare, we try and remove any level of Kedusha which has fallen there in the lower worlds. Then that's called Mechias Amalek. Then Amalek has no hashpa on us. But that's the same concept. All these things of drinking wine and is a form of being Mevara, the Kedusha from the Ra. And that's what Noach tried to do, which he didn't succeed. Nadav Avihu tried to do, didn't succeed. And it's left to us on Purim to do whatever we can do. A little bit of Musa, because like we're not, you know, a person, if you understand, a person also goes through stages. When he's born, right, a child, certainly a baby, right, he's very, very much more animalistic, like the first 3 years. Yeah? That's why till the third year, he's considered arel, he's an orla, he's hair. Then you cut his hair, and you begin to teach him Torah. He's more, the first 3 years, he's animalistic, his lower self. Yeah? He's like considered, like his bottom self is the first 3 years. Then he grows, and he begins to get das, you know, till the age of nine. He's becoming, you know, a more cognitive being, right? Nine is when he has some sort of level of das, right? Then Bar Mitzvah, he has his full das, and he has Keter, his crown. Then he becomes Achrai on his actions, yeah? Then till 20, he's still getting more das. Then he receives his full das at 20. And at 20, he then becomes also obligated, not only Bidei Adam, at the age of Bar Mitzvah, he's obligated, Mitzad Beis Din, Mitzad Dinei Shemaim, he's obligated at the age of 20. And then every 10 years, 30 to Koach, till 30 to Koach, right? Abim Labina, this hierarchy of understandings, right? Shishim or Shivim Lezikna, right? So a person's going through different stages of hierarchy of levels. Right? So that's what also happens in the world. We're going to different levels of clarification and purification and closeness to our Creator. So ultimately, when a person becomes so old, right, he has really, in a certain sense, you know, they hardly eat anything. They, you know, they even lose their faculty somewhat. They completely, in a certain sense, one, they come back to their Creator. You know, when you don't have any, they have even like no desires for physical things. You know, they're not, you know, I have a 97-year-old grandma, and she's like, you've put food in front of her, she doesn't want to eat it. They're not interested. They're not interested in talking to them or any that sort of thing. They can hardly see. They can see, but, you know, not very much. It's like, it's a different world for them. They're not interested in the same things that you might be interested in. You know, a good meal, a good breakfast. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't even speak to them. That's what happens to a person in his life. You understand? So the same thing we're seeing through Chumash is the same thing that happens to a person. A person goes through different levels of clarification, different levels of purification and coming close to his creator. And that's the Yisurim that happen to a person. The bad things that happen to a person is to make him Chozer B'Tshuva and clarify and purify himself so he has a better connection with his creator. That's the whole purpose of it all. There's no like punishment, like, you know, Chas V'Shalom, you know. Punishment isn't there to punish. Punishment is there to bring you close to creation, bring to your realization. You understand? So that's also what the punishments in the Chumash are there. They're bringing the world closer to its creator, removing the Ra from the world, the Bira of the Ra, the separation of the Ra, and coming to higher levels of cognitive levels in terms of the world itself. Understand? So even though at the time of Noah there was a level of clarification, but the Lashon that was spoken was Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh, Chazal say, is an intrinsic Lashon. That means with Lashon HaKodesh, you can understand the world from, you know, from not the point of view of God, because that's impossible to understand, but as far as you can understand the world, you can understand the world intrinsically. So, they didn't want another marble. They didn't want to be dependent, the shefa, the influence of the world, dependent on their actions. They wanted the world to be independent of their actions. They understood very well HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They understood so well HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they wanted in a certain way, just as you have Yerushalayim and you have Eretz Yisrael, that the rain that we get in Eretz Yisrael is dependent on our actions. It's not like other Arutzot, that rain comes and goes, depends on the climate, right? Rain in Eretz Yisrael depends on man's actions. They didn't want the world to be that way. They wanted the world, the shefa, the influence coming to the world, to be unrelated to the actions, because it was too hard for them on their level. They were high level, they weren't a low level, if you understand. They understood who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, and they built a Migdal. And Chazal say they made smuchim. What is smuchim? They were like, you know, like stuff to hold the Shemayim up. What do you mean to hold the Shemayim up? Well, you know, you can hold clouds up with, you know, with a piece of metal. No. It was Kishuv. They understood. They went to Bavel. They went to Shinar. Where was Shinar? Right, Rashi tells us, Kol Meitei Mabul, that was the lowest part of the world. Just as Yerushalayim is the highest part of the world, Bavel is the lowest part of the world. Doesn't mean physically the lowest. It means all the Meitei Mabul near Na'aru L'Sham. That means all the people who died in the Mabul were buried there. So it represents the Sea of Ra, the place of the biggest Ra in the world. That's the place they picked to build this Tower of Babel, right? And to make the world independent of God's influence. That means even if they did Ra, the world wouldn't come to destruction. You with me? That was their purpose. And they knew how to do it because they spoke Lashon HaKodesh. And each one was helping the other to do this, right? They understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They understood there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. They just didn't have the ability to serve Him, and they wanted to go after their physical needs, their physical desires. They understood very well. They understood so well they could build this tower. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He mixed them up. He got rid of Lashon HaKodesh. They didn't understand. He gave them each the individual language, which was not an intrinsic language, which was a language, like the Ran says in the Doran. Language is just what people agree on. It's not intrinsic. When I say para, cow, right? Para means para varaba, means something which is fruitful. A cow has milk, meat, hide. Everything about the cow is useful. It's a fruit machine, right? That's the Lashon HaKodesh. That's what para means. Has other names. It has other also important names, you know? Why we call it para aduma. Para represents dinim. Whatever. The word itself, right, is intrinsic. Cow in English, I mean, I don't know. Don't think it means anything, right? Maybe it comes from somewhere, but it's only in terms of, it's not an intrinsic language. It's the language that people agree with. So since it's not an intrinsic language, they cannot understand now fully their creator. So they can no longer build this tower. That's what it says. This one says, bring a brick. This one hits him. Right? They were unable to get to that level of understanding God anymore. The understanding of God would only be a model, some sort of closeness of understanding. The only way of really understanding God is with Lashon HaKodesh, with Torah. That's an intrinsic language, it's intrinsic Ratzon HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and that will be given to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Because we will use it not to build the Tower of Babel, we will use it to build Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash, a place of Chibur, a connection to God. You understand? But okay, that's basically the Tower of Babel. You understand? So now the world, right, became again somewhat physical. So now we see the end of the Parsha. We have 10 generations from Noah to Avram. And those 10 generations are also, right? If you understand, you know, I'm sure you've heard the 10 spheres, right? 10, you understand? Yeah. So those are 10 generations of reaching another level of Birur, another level of clarification. And then we say, at the end of the Parsha, yeah, after you speak, now we introduce Avram, we say that Terach died in Haran. And it says there that the Nun is Hafucha. So until Avram, right, there was Haran Af in the world. There was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with the world. There was din in the world because the world wasn't going to its proper place. When Avram came into the world, now begins Alpayim Terah, the 2,000 years of Terah. Avram now brings into the world Terah. And that's the Parshas Lech Lecha. Now the beginning of the Jewish people. And now everything that happens to Avram, right, we're going to see, is a, like we say, the Ramban says, Maisa Avos Simen Lebanim. What happened now to Avram is going to be a sign that has to the Jewish people. Now we see here, the first Tzivui of Avram is Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha B'gematria Mea. Because the Tachlis of Avram, he comes to his Siyum, he comes to his height of clarification at the age of 100, when he has his Bris Mila, and his name gets changed to Avraham, not Avram. And then Avraham has Yitzchak, and we now have, right, the beginning of the building of the Zera Kodesh, the Jewish people. And the Biru is going to be, we're going to remove first Ishmael, who is the Psolet of Ram, the Bad of Avram. And then, you know, in Parshas told us we're going to hear about Esav, or, right, Vaita. Okay, now let's do Parshas Lech Lecha. Now here I'm going to do a bit more in detail. So it says here, Lech Lecha, he's told, Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'moladetecha me'beit avicha. Right? It's the opposite. El ha'aretz asher e'ka. To land which I will show you. It's brought down in Sfarim HaKadoshim that Avram, in his traveling, right, through the world, understood every single aspect of the world and all the Sarim of the world. All the Sarim is the... Each nation has a spiritual malach, a spiritual angel, which is in charge of that nation. He understood fully the world around him.
Sorry, and
minister. And he came to a recognition of God. He saw Habira Adoleket. He saw this world, right? That was a representation of God's influence. God being the manig of the world. He recognized it through his own kochot. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was to come to a higher level of recognition. And that's the beginning of Torah. So it says here, Lech Lecha, why it says, it should say, Lech Lecha, mi beit avicha, mi moladetecha, umi artzecha. It's the opposite. Because first the person has to leave from his artziut, from his physicality. Mi moladetecha, from the influence of the place he was born. Mi beit avicha, and from the hardest influence, which was the house of his father, which was a house of Avodah Zarah. His father, Terach, was a builder of Avodah Zarah. We know this story when Avram was 3 years old, and the story with the isles, and throwing Kivshana Eish, and the nace that happened, right? Okay. So now it says, because Baruch is commanding him, Ela Aretz Asher Ereka, to a land in which I will show you. Here, Ereka is a lashon of Nevuah, Vayera. Avraham Avinu did not understand Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was much too high a level for him to understand. Even Avraham Avinu says, Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu, Sefer Yetzirah, you've heard of the Kabbalists, Sefer Yetzirah? Some people say, some people say that Avraham Avinu wrote it. Right. It's like we have a Sefer from Avraham Avinu, Teres Avraham, right?
What
Sefer Yetzirah? It's a Sefer, Kabbalistic Sefer. But now we see that Avraham takes Lot with him, and he goes to Eretz Canaan, right? Again, Avraham goes to Eretz Canaan, and he sees the Canaani as Ba'aret. It's not the time for his trim to now to take possession of Eretz Canaan. He can't yet fix Eretz Yisrael from the Canaanim. Remember we explained that the Canaan represents the Ra, also Mitzrayim, which also came from Ham, represents the Ra. So that's why you Rav Ba'aret. It wasn't yet the time to fix Eretz Yisrael. First, before then, Mitzrayim needed to be fixed. And there was Ra'av Ba'aretz. That's the time that Avraham understood from himself that it wasn't time to be in Eretz Yisrael. So he went down to Mitzrayim. And we see from Chazal, Ramban says here, Avraham sinned. He should not have gone to Mitzrayim. He should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that he went into Eretz Mitzrayim, and it was a chisaron on Avraham's level in his emunah, we don't understand a chisaron. For us, we should have gone down to Mitzrayim. Yeah. Even though it's machlok between the Ramban and Rashi, they're both true. In what sense? I mean, on a certain level, the Jewish people, had Avram stayed in Eretz Yisrael, we would not have gone to Egypt, and we would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael, and we would have fixed directly Canaan, and wouldn't need to fix Mitzrayim. But the other opinion holds that the Jewish people weren't on that level, and they needed to be fixed in Mitzrayim and Midbarer and clarified in Egypt, and then afterwards come to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? If you look at the Chumash, you see that an interesting thing. That, you know, the story they found, they saw Sarah, they found in the Teva, and the light that came from Sarah and the beauty of Sarah, they say that the most beautiful woman in the world was Chava. Chava was the most beautiful woman. The next one was Sarah. Sarah was after Chava, but the beauty of Sarah was like a kof, kakof, in comparison to the beauty of Chava. In other words, Sarah's beauty was like a monkey in comparison to a man. Right? That's the way kakof, like a monkey looks like a man. He's not a man, he looks like a man. Much more physical than a man. The beauty of Sarah to Chavah was still, Chavah was such a beautiful woman, in the sense that we have to understand, you know, the beauty of her wasn't the beauty like we understand physical beauty. It was like such a spiritual beauty, we can't even understand it. We can't even understand to describe it. So Sarah is very beautiful. And she was taken to Paro. Now, that after, right? After Paro took it, Sarah, so we hear from Chazal that V'inaga Hashem et Paro Nigayim Dolim et Beito al Dva Sarai Eshet Avram, through the words, because why it says Dva Sarai Eshet Avram? Through the words of Sarai, through the words of Sarah. That means, and it says here, if you count it, right, 10 times V'inaga. So Chazal say, from here we hear, know that when the Jewish people went into Egypt, right, into Mitzrayim, there were going to be 10 makas. The Egyptians would be sholet on the women of the Jewish people, and there would be 10 makas, which is against the makas that Sarah gave to Paro that night that he brought her to his house, and that's connected to the 10 makas that the Jewish people are going to give to the Egyptians when they leave Egypt. So, right, you understand? And now, what happens? We see that Paro says to send them away, and he gives them, you know, he gives them stuff, right? And that's connected the rechush that the Jewish people took out of Egypt with them. Now you should understand that this rechush is to remove the good that's in Egypt, to remove the nitzotzei kedusha that's in Egypt. When we learn Parsha Shmos, you'll see that's exactly what Yosef did, and that's exactly what the purpose was of Egypt, to remove all the kedusha that was in Mitzrayim. So here Avraham fixed partially, but the full fixing is going to be done at the time of the Jewish people. Right? Now, then we have other things happening here. We have, see that Lot, right? Lot wanted to separate from Avraham. Lot, the Loshen Lot, let me explain to you. The Loshen of Lot is Loshen of Layit, of curse. Lot represents the bad of the Jewish people. So he separated from Avraham. And then, you know the story of the four kings against the five kings. And they took Lot captive. You know that story? And then Avraham chased after them, killed them. Him and Eliezer, right? And then they all, right, accepted him as king over him, over them. Right? Right? Okay, so now let's explain here a little bit. The Rabbeinu Bechai explains that those four kings represent the four Malchios, the four, the four goddess of Klal Yisrael. Avraham represents the Mashiach. And that's why, at the end, they accepted his kingship, which is accepting of Malchus, of Melech HaMashiach in the world. And it says, V'yichalek aleim laila, ahu, when he was who? V'abada, v'yakem v'yirdefem ad chova, Hashem ismol l'dameshek. So Rashi says a very interesting thing here. Rashi says, what's v'yichalek? What does it mean, v'yichalek? It says, klom laila, it says, kloma, midrash agarata, shenechlak halaila, the laila was separated into two, ubechatzot harishon, Naaseh lo neis, the neis was done, right? That he defeated them. V'chetziv hasheinu, the second half of the night, from chatzot omud, nishma ba lo v'chatzot laila shel Mitzrayim. The second part of the night was there for Mitzrayim. That means night is always associated with galus. Emunatecha b'leilot, right? Galus is a time, a period of time of non-clarity. Yes? Galus is a time of non-clarity. Mr. Shasharim says, at night time, you see a pillar, and you need me, it's an animal or a person. It's not clear what you're seeing. That's galus. So now we're seeing that in Mitzrayim, the second part of the night was fixed. That's why we have, in a certain sense, the Jewish day starts from night, starts from chatzot, in a certain way. The mitzvahs, the beginning, you know, the beginning of light in the world is the beginning of chatzot laila. So many dinim of day start from night. That's the fixing that we had in Mitzrayim. The fixing atid lavo, which is represented by Avraham, is the fixing of the beginning of the night. That night is only for Shana. There's no mitzvahs that part of the night. That's night. That's like Tokif HaGolos is the beginning part of the night. That is what Avraham fixed. The hard part of the Golos, which is Atid Lavo, is hinted here that that part of the night, that part of the Golos, is the, which represents the four Malachim, the four exiles of Yavan, of Paras, of Rome, Edom, and
Greece,
yeah. Babel, Paras, Yavan, and Edom, right? Those are the four exiles. Connected those four kings that Avraham fought. And Lot represents the Jewish people who are going through the exile, and the purpose of that was to clarify them again. That's the cursed part, the part that has the Shaykh Torah. What you're saying is very good. So, some Mephoshim say the reason Avraham saved Lot is because Mashiach comes from Lot. But we're going to see the thing with this, when Lot drinks, again, Lot drinks, right, you understand? Drinking always represents a beer or something, and we have from that, comes Mashiach through Moab and Ruth, and then David, yeah? Okay. The birth of Yishmael, I'm not going to explain that, just explain, the birth of Yishmael represents, Avram wasn't fixed, he's still Avram when he had Yishmael. Yishmael represents the separation of the Ra from Avram, it represents the psolet of Chesed. So that's why Yishmael represents that concept of bad Chesed in the world. And then Avram has the Bris Milah, and after he has his Bris Milah, he has Yitzchak. He's called Avraham. And then Avraham, with the Bris Milah, he then, in the next week's parasha, Vayera, he gets to that Nevuah and that understanding of Eretz Yisrael, and that's the beginning of Avram's Nevuah, the beginning of the clarification of Avram. And then there's Yitzchak, and then we'll speak about Yitzchak, and there's a Biru in Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the sons. And Bizar Hashem, that's, and the Mila here is, it's a very important thing to understand, like what's happening in the world. So the Mila, because Yishmael did a Mila, he did do Mila but without Priya, and he did it later on, which was bad. He waited, it wasn't actually good. So the Zohar here says, the very famous Zohar says, B'schus ha-mila, Yishmael was given dominion because the Mila is b'mokum kadosh, in the holy place, right? So, he was given dominion b'eretz ha-kadosh. And it says, the Zohar says that Yishmael, in the end of days, will make wars. And they will fight with Edom. And that will bring on Mashiach. So, you know, we see in our lifetime something which, who knows what it is, but it's like a very, very weird situation that's happening in this world. With all this fighting in the Arabs amongst themselves and whatever's happening there. And it's a very dangerous situation. Who knows what it's going to be? Who knows, maybe it's the beginning of something we don't even understand.